Yeah, it was a great game all around for the Blue Jays. Thank you very much, Jerry and Joe, and we will see you tomorrow afternoon. Phone lines are open, 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Mark Burley and Cy Young. You can line those names up side by side, and what you get is one better than the other. And that would be Mark Burley better than Cy Young, because he's now gone 14 straight seasons with 200 innings pitched and less than 62 walks in each of those seasons. Absolutely unbelievable. And anybody that thought that maybe John Gibbons would have some sort of decision to make in how long he kept Mark Burley out there, if he was getting torched and maybe having to bring him back on that final day of the season out of the bullpen to get to the 200 innings, Mark, not even close, as Burley was spectacular and maybe his second-best start of the season. 10 strikeouts, the most since he struck out 11 in Tampa on opening day. Taking your phone calls, we are going on the Sportsnet 590, the Fan radio station, until 11 o'clock, taking the network until the bottom of the hour. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on the cell. Let's go to Jeff in Saskatchewan. Hey, Jeff, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Ben, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for making the call.
Yeah, first off, Ben, I just want to say congrats to Mark Burley. What a career of reliability and endurance he's had. It's just been awesome to watch, and what an achievement he's put together there. Also, Ben, lots may not agree with my opinion, but I actually see the season as a success for the Jays for a few reasons. I can see them gelling as a team, which is obviously a huge component of becoming a championship team. They've had lots of injuries to deal with, yet still remain competitive, and they put an entertaining season together and a good team on the field. So, I mean, look at May. May was so much fun to watch as a fan. And it's been quite some time since the Jays have been in the hunt for the playoffs right till the final couple weeks. So, I mean, for me, I see it as a complete success.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. I don't know if I'd call the season a complete success, especially considering how long the Blue Jays were in first place in the American League East, and by six games at one point there in late May, early June. So I think that's I respect and appreciate the positivity that you're showing, but I think there's not a person in that Blue Jays clubhouse that's going to say this season was a complete success, despite the fact that now at 81-77, the Blue Jays are guaranteed themselves at least a .500 season with four games to go, one against the Mariners and three against the Baltimore Orioles. But there were some positives to take out of this season.
There sure were. I mean, we saw a lot of advances for some of these young players coming up. I mean, look at Sanchez and Stroman. What a show they're going to put on. I think they're going to be a huge potential for next year and the years to come. And maybe they'll be the final piece of the puzzle that we're looking for. I mean, time will tell, right?
Yeah, Jeff, I wonder about Sanchez as well, because he's looked so good out of the bullpen and comes in the ninth inning, picks off a runner, and then gets the final two outs of the game for the save when Casey Jansen was available, just not used tonight.
Yeah.
He's been so good out of the bullpen, and I know Blue Jays see him as a starter long-term, and you think with that sinking fastball, he'd be probably well-suited to take the ball and go, you know, six, seven innings and maybe not strike everybody out, which he hasn't really done out of the bullpen either. But you think with that 97-mile-an-hour sinking fastball, that's a pretty good starter's makeup. But how do you take him out of this role he's succeeded so nicely in? But that being said, you know, David Price was pretty good out of the bullpen when he first came up with the Tampa Bay Rays, turned into a pretty good starter as well. So, I mean, you got questions that are going to need answering going into next season. But, yeah, I mean, some positives. I like that you're taking a little rosy tone to this this season, though, Jeff. Kind of an unusual way to start Blue Jays talk, but I appreciate it.
I didn't think you were expecting it, Ben. I just think everyone should maybe take a breath and think, you know, all in all, the season, yes, we didn't finish in a playoff spot. Yes, we're not the World Series contender yet. But like you say and like I said, we've seen a lot of improvements, and we're working our way to the final prize, which, who knows, next year might be it. I mean, we're getting closer.
All right, thanks for the call, Jeff. Let's before we take the break, let's listen to John Gibbons postgame.
Just obviously, what are your thoughts on Mark Burley getting to 200 innings and what that means for you and him and the ball club, baseball?
Well, first off, I mean, he was as good as you're ever going to see him. We've seen him strong the whole night. You know, I mean, his ball was really ducking and darting in there, and he felt strong. I mean, and it was, you know, and we talked about before the game, you know, he works quick. He does everything, and that game flew by. And Our guy was just, it was just as good, you know. We got that dunk shot in there to win the game. So, you know, Burley's been known to do things, and he does things in style, and it's a great way for him to finish the season.
Was there any consideration at all letting him try to finish that, or once that first runner came on, you kind of figured give him a chance to walk off the field and get the ovation?
Well, it had nothing to do with getting him an ovation. I wanted to get a few boos, so... You know, trying to win the game, bringing a totally different style pitcher, you know, bringing some power there. Jackson's hit always hit him good. I mean, he held him in check tonight, but, you know, in a one-run game, ground ball guy. You know, of course, then Sanchez got the big pickoff, which, you know, was huge. The leadoff runner gets on. So I thought it was time.
There you go. There's John Gibbons talking about his starter, Mark Burley, postgame. We'll be back with a little look around the scoreboard coming up next as we wrap up the network portion of the postgame show brought to you by your Honda dealers.
Swing and a miss. He struck out another one. 10 for Mark Burley. One shy of his 11 that goes back to opening start in St. Pete against the Rays April the 2nd.
Jerry Howarth with the call as the Blue Jays beat the Seattle Mariners 1-0. Mark Burley, oh, it was a thing of beauty. I'm Ben Ennis filling in for Mike Wilner on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blue Jays improved to 81-77. Mark Burley needed 6 innings to reach 200 for the season. How do you like 8 plus a batter? Came out there for the ninth, and Chris Taylor hit a ball to the left side of the infield. Fairly hard, but a ball that I think even if you asked Jose Reyes if he should have had it, he would have said, yes, I should have. He couldn't come up with it. And John Gibbons was not messing around. Goes to his fireballing rookie, Aaron Sanchez, to clean it up. Picks off Chris Taylor. Little two-plan action. And then strikes out Austin Jackson before getting Dustin Ackley to ground out to Munenori Kawasaki to end it. Taking your phone calls on Blue Jays Talk. 1-888-666-0590-416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Blue Jays now looking for the sweep tomorrow afternoon. We're on at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Daniel Norris will get the start and likely go about 2-3 innings. And the Mariners have not officially announced a starter, but it's likely a bullpen day for them as well, as Tom Wilhelmsen looks like he's going to get the nod. Let's go back to the phone lines. Lucas is in Ottawa. Lucas, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thanks for taking my call, Ben. I appreciate it.
Thanks for making it.
Well, I do want to thank the whole production staff for doing what they did this season. It was by far the most exciting season we've had in a long time. Now, I just wanted to ask something quickly before I move on. Do you think that Jose Bautista showed any signs of regression? I'm not suggesting that he did. I'm just wondering if you think that he has.
Now, are you talking about offensively or defensively? Because I think it's pretty clear he's had a subpar defensive season. Now, this is not an elite defender at shortstop, and anybody that was expecting him to be.
Bautista, not Reyes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Jose Reyes. Okay, so you're talking about Jose Bautista. Has he shown any regression? The guy's got a 409 on base to lead all of Major League Baseball, and he's slugging .534.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So has there been any defensively, has there been any regression there?
No, not at all.
Okay, so aside from Edwin's injury this year and Brett's consistent injuries, would you say there's anything in our offense that shows that we're going to decline next year?
No, I suppose. Okay. Well, depending on whether they pick up Adam Lind's option.
I think that has to be looked at as kind of not as an... I don't think that needs to be... There needs to be enough as much emphasis put on that. But what I'm saying is that the pitching has looked like it is turning a corner with youth and experience at the same time, that I don't think there's any reason to look at next year as anything more than better than this year, and we are only a bad August away from an 87-90 win baseball team. We are a playoff baseball team this year minus a bad month. So everyone who's going to call in over the next couple days and really belittle this team, don't. It's not what happened this year. It was a good baseball team, well-managed, and we hit a bad break. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Lucas. I don't know what's going on here, but I guess Mike Wilner doesn't sit in the seat and all of a sudden people are, like, measured and, and not freaking out and kind of positive. That was nice. I tend to agree. Honestly, you look at the difference this season between the Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles. I think the starting staffs are pretty comparable. Now, you can look at the ERAs being slightly different, and I went into it a little bit last weekend on Saturday when I was hosting my show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan about how much defense has affected the ERAs of the Blue Jays and the Orioles. The Blue Jays actually have a better xFIP, which is supposed to subtract defense and park effects from pitching entirely. Blue Jays have, by everything the pitcher can control, had a better starting pitching season than the Baltimore Orioles. But their ERAs are not even close, in that the Orioles is much lower than the Blue Jays. So you got to figure out a way to get back to what the Orioles are doing. And I don't know if you can necessarily do that if Jose Reyes is your starting shortstop and you want a bat at second base and it's not Ryan Goins. And sure, Brett Laurie makes a big difference at third base, and maybe playing Dalton Pompey or Anthony Gost, somebody at center field, makes that difference as well. How do you get from what the Blue Jays have given you from a starting pitching standpoint to what the Baltimore Orioles have given themselves this season? A lot of it comes down to defense. But I'm sure this Blue Jays team in the offseason is going to look at filling some offensive holes. And it's not a sexy fix in the offseason to go fix your defense. Thanks for the call. Let's go back to the phone lines. 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on the cell, 416-870-0590. Eddie's in Scarborough. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, it's really good to talk to you.
Likewise, Eddie. I'm sure you're great.
It's not what I really called to talk about, but as far as Lynn goes, I really think that a part of the success from an amazing, you know, 2-3 or 3-4 from Batista and Encarnacion is you've got to have somebody behind them that, you know, they can't just walk them to get to somebody who's not going to be hitting. And when you've got Lynn with an average that he has, and especially, you know, I guess especially with right-handed pitchers, you know, you got to have a guy like that there. So we do appreciate the Lynn. If he's gone, well, we got to have somebody to replace him. But like, that is somebody you have to have behind them. But one thing that I really wanted to ask, just out of curiosity and not judgmental or anything like that, but I see that Cabrera's on the bench and he's out. But where is
Brett Laurie?
Yeah, where's Brett Laurie? Because he is one of those guys on the bench that, you know, every time you get a guy with a big hit, he's the first guy on the bench to just jump up and, like, fist pump and just be like, what a great play. And that's a guy, even just if he's on the bench and he's injured, what a good presence he has.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, and it's one I thought about as well, because I look at Matt Wieters in Baltimore. He's been with that team, I think, ever since he got injured and had Tommy John surgery and is going to miss the rest of the season. The Indians announcing today that Nick Swisher, despite having knee surgery, is going to be with that club, despite their tragic number now being down to one. My guess, and I'll try and get an answer for you before we sign off tonight, but my guess would be that he's down in Dunedin doing some sort of rehab work, that he's not just, you know, back home in BC drinking beers and watching football all day.
And I would never ever think that, because he is that guy that just loves to be a part of the group, and I would never ever want to, like, put that out there, right? But I just sort of be like, that's, you know, if it's done for the season, hey man, we need, there's no BJ Birdie, this is Brett Laurie. Like, nobody pumps up the team more than him, you know.
Yeah, well,
that's my view.
Thanks for the call, Eddie. I
thank you.
I agree with you, and it's something I've thought about, and was kind of curious as to why he was not with this team. But I mean, this is a guy who appears to like his teammates. Everybody seems to like him, so I imagine if it was up to him, he'd rather be here with this team. So I'm going to try and get an answer, but if I had to guess, it would be that Brent Laurie's down in Dunedin. Brent Laurie's doing some sort of rehab for that oblique, trying to get ready for spring training of next season. And it's not just a situation where the Blue Jays have said, hey, why don't you go home? Why don't you shut it down and come back for next year? Because I cited a couple of examples there. I mean, Matt Wieters has been lost for the season for months now with the Baltimore Orioles. And by all accounts, he's still traveling with that team. He's still working with the starters, looking at advanced scouting reports with them. And Nick Swisher today just announced rejoining his Cleveland Indians team. We'll hear from Mark Burley after the top of the clock. We're going to be taking your phone calls until the top of the hour, 11 o'clock here, as Blue Jays beat the Seattle Mariners. 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. 1-0 in a game that lasted less than 2 hours. And let me tell you, there's some excited people up here in the press box whenever that happens. Look like it might go to extras, but Blue Jays score on the bottom of the eighth thanks to a perfectly placed single off the bat of Ryan Goins, who ends up going 2-for-3 with a couple of singles, including that RBI in the bottom of the eighth. But the story of the game, definitely Mark Burley picking up his 13th win of the season and passing Cy Young as the only man to go 14 straight seasons of 200-plus innings and fewer than 62 walks. Let's go to Sam in Toronto. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sam.
Hi, guys. Hope everyone's well. First of all, I am a big Blue Jays fan, bigger than Leafs, bigger than everything else. But I'll tell you why the last 2 years are disappointing. We gave up a lot of young players, and everyone's excited about Norris and Sanchez like I am. But all the players we gave up for the past 2 years, we were supposed to make the playoffs. So now Noah Syndergaard for the Mets, he's their Sanchez. Everyone's excited about him. I'm not really sold on the catcher, Denard, who's with the Mets. He's hitting .240, but he's in the lineup.
Darno.
And he's in the lineup. Echeverria plays a better defense than Reyes in Miami, and he's hitting .270.
Well, to be fair, I think there's not a lot of shortstops in Major League Baseball that are playing worse defense than Jose Reyes, and that's just a reality.
That's correct, but we signed him for his glove as well, and Echeverria is, like, amazing defensively. And we gave all this up, and now 2 years have gone by, and all these guys are getting Major League credit, and they're about to become stars, possibly. And if Alex Anthopoulos knew we weren't going to make the playoffs for 2 years, he wouldn't have made those trades, and we'd be sitting on a whole bunch of talent right now. As we are, we're still sitting on some, but we would have at least double. So that's why I think these past 2 years have been very disappointing.
You're talking about, thanks for the call, but you're talking about guys that have not really made an impact at the Major League level. Now, Echeverria has, but not, I mean, yes, he's got a spectacular glove. And, yeah, I see the defensive plays he makes at shortstop. He's also got an on-base of .306 this year. And in his Major League career in 329 games, that's over 1,200 plate appearances, he's got an on-base of .285. So he is pretty much a black hole offensively, which is fine if you want, you know, Brendan Ryan's out there. You can go get Brendan Ryan, who's on par with Echeverria as far as defense is concerned. He's not a Major League starter. He's not starting every day for the New York Yankees, although maybe he should over Derek Jeter. But that's another story altogether. As far as Syndergaard is concerned, who knows what he is? Sure, it's nice to see a guy throw 97, get up there to 100 miles an hour in spring, but he has not appeared in a Major League game yet, and there's some injury concerns with him.
You're right, but if that's the case, how do we know what Norris is? How do we know what Sanchez is? And we're all
no, we don't.
These guys as well.
But you know who we do know who is or what that person is? We know what R.A. Dickey is, and to be honest with you, he's been good. Now, I know he's not winning any Cy Youngs anytime soon, and he's not the quote-unquote ace of the staff, and I don't know if this team necessarily even has an ace at this point. Maybe you could say it is Marcus Stroman, but what R.A. Dickey has given you for what his contract is calling for at what, $12 million a season? That is honestly, if you're looking to trade a dude, and get some sort of value back? R.A. Dickey's the most tradable asset this team has.
I never said we should trade any of those guys. I'm just saying that had Alex known we wouldn't make the playoffs for 2 years, he wouldn't have made those trades. He would have kept the guys or gone a different route. And that has nothing to say about the guys we acquired. It's just about we gave up a lot of young players just so that we couldn't make the playoffs for 2 years.
Right, but Sam, were you one of those guys? Were you saying this back then when 2 years ago in the winter of 2012? Were you
definitely excited? Definitely excited.
Right.
I also was reading the farm report and following the three young arms that they had in Dunedin at the time. So that's what I was excited about 3 years ago, because that's what everybody was teaching us to.
Right.
Now,
that's
Alex has drafted well. He's done this well. So we started following up on all these young players. And then when he traded them, it was sad, but I understood the trade.
Yeah.
And I don't blame Alex. You go for it. But had you known you weren't going to make the playoffs, and you'd never know, you can look back and say the trade was a failure, regardless of the players that we got. And it's not about the players. It's just that we just didn't win.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Sam. I guess to this point, it has been a failure. I guess that's a tough point to argue, but the Blue Jays come back next season, make the playoffs, and R.A. Dickey throws another 200 innings and has 15 or so wins or whatever. And even if Syndergaard makes the major leagues and Travis d'Arnaud is producing at a major league level, Blue Jays make playoffs next year with R.A. Dickey, trade's going to be deemed a success. Just the way it goes. But yes, as of right this second that I'm talking to you, the Blue Jays 81-77 and out of the playoffs despite having a six-game lead in the American League East in June, yes, those trades were a disappointment looking back at this moment. But still time to play out on those. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a second. 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. You can also hit me up on Twitter, @BennisSNet. But Mark Burley, I mean, the night belonged to him. Picking up the win, going 8-plus, scoreless, 10 strikeouts, 200 innings with ease, passing Cy Young with his 14th straight season of 200-plus innings and less than 62 walks. And he caught up with Barry Davis postgame.
Mark, you came into tonight's game needing six more innings for 200. John Gibbons even said before the game, well, if he doesn't go six, we'll get him a spot in the bullpen over the weekend. Did you have any idea you had this in you tonight?
No, I'm kind of disappointed. I waited for my last start to feel this good and for the ball to be moving this good. Hold on.
Oh, that's right. Now that I tell you what, that's respect for a veteran, right? They knew that if they dumped Gatorade on your head, that wouldn't be a good thing, right?
I ain't going to do anything to him. But obviously no one was at stake tonight to come in, needed six innings. And I guess in my mind, I don't know if I really felt comfortable coming out of the bullpen. If I did it in my starts, good. If not, it wasn't meant to be. So I'm just glad I came out and had a good game. But like I said, I'm more disappointed that I felt this good and my ball is moving this much for the last start of the season.
And your first start as well, you had 11 strikeouts opening night. This is the second time you've had double-digit strikeouts. Is there anything that you were feeling tonight that it kind of came to you and went, okay, well, you know, there it is, and where has it been? I know you said it's been kind of disappointed you, but what was that feeling?
No, I mean, obviously I'm not a strikeout pitcher, and I had good movement on my ball. That's the only thing I can say. But I had 11 in the first start and 10 this start, and I think I had 22 in between. So this game's weird. I mean, I'm not a strikeout pitcher, and I had two double-digit strikeout season or games this season. So Navi was awesome behind the plate all year long. I think he's caught everything but two innings. Totally, those two innings he had was good back there. But I don't know, just overall it was a good season for me. Obviously, it's disappointing because we're going home on Sunday. But it's a good start to go into the offseason and be ready for next year.
What does the 200 innings mean to you? And how much does Yonder Navarro deserve some credit for helping you get there this year?
200 innings is a goal I set on myself every year. So to get to that, obviously, it's a good season for myself personally. But like I said, we're not going to the playoffs, so it's disappointing. Navarro, I mean, I shook him off like one time, more of it as a joke than anything, and I got kind of yelled at. So, I mean, he deserves everything. Obviously, I'm the one making the pitches, but he's the one knowing the hitters and putting the sign down. So he gets a lot of credit.
Well, listen, congratulations, and thanks for making it possible for you to not avoid me tonight.
I know. I was trying to figure out a way, but that wasn't possible.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right. There's Mark Burley. 200 innings for 14 consecutive seasons. Gets the win. 1-0. Big win for the Blue Jays here tonight.
I tell you, 200 straight years of 14 innings, that would have been more impressive, but I guess he'll have to take 14 consecutive years of 200 innings. Mark Burley with our own Barry Davis. He goes 8 plus a single batter. Could not go the route. Struck out 10, though. And maybe a little help on the defensive end from Jose Reyes, and he might have come up with the shutout. Nevertheless, solid, maybe even spectacular season for Mark Burley as it comes to a close. He goes 13-10 and an ERA under 3.5. I mean, that's if somebody could have told you Mark Burley's going to do that at the beginning of the season, I think you would have signed up for it. And if you wouldn't have, man, you had some high hopes for Mark Burley. Great season for him. It started off so well, that first start. 11 strikeouts in Tampa against the Rays. First 10 or so starts were great. Middle ones were kind of meh. Weren't as horrible as his winless record would indicate. And then finishing it up with an absolute bang. Taking your phone calls on Blue Jays Talk. 1-888-666-0590. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. I'm Ben Ennis, filling in for Mike Wilner. Happy New Year's to those of you who celebrate. The Blue Jays guarantee themselves of at least a 500 record. Now at 81-77, trying to sweep away the Seattle Mariners tomorrow afternoon. We're on the air at 4 o'clock. Let's go back to the phone lines. Pete is in Cambridge. Hey, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. First, I just want to name the question or answer the question that was thrown out there about Brett Laurie. He's not. He's gone home, and he has been there for the last little while because basically there's not much for him to do up here, and there's not that he could really do much of anything given the injury that he's got to deal with, and he's been getting rehab, and he's gone home with it.
Now, how do you know that, Pete? You well, call him at home? Do you have a dorsal fin?
That's been the talk in the Sportsnet world, let me put it that way.
All right. Well, I haven't heard that, but yes, okay. If that is true, that's kind of disappointing, I got to say, because I look around Major League Baseball, and I see guys like Nick Swisher coming back.
Yeah,
and despite the fact that they're not going to be able to play the rest of the season, at least they're with their teammates. But
you know, it is in a sense, and I get that, but a back injury is it's its own animal, and I can attest to that. I don't care what kind of work you do, but especially with being an athlete and where he got it is just it's an ugly place, and you can't do anything really with that other than to deal with it and be tender with it and be gentle with it and work on it. It's a very precarious injury. It's ugly. And
Well, he's got an oblique injury, so it's not a back injury.
Well, okay, fair enough. But, I mean, still, like that's an area that's just – it's a messy area to be dealing with to begin with. And you don't know when it's going to go. And for you to be like sure, it's nice to be with the team and all that, but to be cheerleading – for lack of a better word, and when something goes and you're not feeling it, then something's wrong, and it's like you can't hang around and be happy. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a horrible, horrible injury. Aside from that, Burley, what a class guy. 14 years with at least 200 plus innings, pulled it off again. He had a great game, and the fact that the guy says that he's disappointed with himself in that. He had a great game. He felt really good, and he couldn't have that kind of a game before. That kind of tells you a lot about the guy. Now, what's going to happen next year? There's been talk about putting Burley out or Dickey. Which one is it going to be? They both give you the chance to win. Which one do you go with? I don't know. That's going to be decided at some point. And with the deal with Melky, are we going to get him back? Is it going to be reasonable with the sign-up, or is he going to be trying to get whatever market is going to dictate to that? That is only something that we can sit back and wait to find out about. It would be great to have him back, but you know, if something like Cruz is still out there for us, who knows what can be done with that. That may be a good pickup in lieu of Melky, right? And Sanchez and Stroman, they had great showings this year. And for Sanchez tonight to pick off that first baseman, he went for him a couple times. I think on the second or third time he nailed him. And Lynn was with him on that. That they kind of cracked up about it afterward, but that was a nice move.
Pete, thanks for the call before you go through every single player on the 40-man roster. We do appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Mark Burley was great this season. Honestly, Mark Burley was Mark Burley. Like I said, if you wanted more out of Mark Burley, then you don't know who Mark Burley is. This was great. And the guy's going to make close to $20 million next season, so it's not a contract that you can easily trade away. It is just the 1 year. And he's a valuable guy. You know he's going to go 200 innings, despite the fact that he's going to be 36 next year. How would you ever question the guy? I mean, if he's only throwing 85, he can probably throw 85 until he's 40 years old. He's not... I mean, if you have five Mark Burleys, I'm not so sure that you can win a division title. But to have one? Man, that's some solid stuff for the Toronto Blue Jays. It's going to be interesting to see how many more years he's able to log and whether he puts himself into the Hall of Fame, because he doesn't have the single spectacular Cy Young season. He's been an all-star, though. He's had a perfect game. He's put himself in some elite company with his longevity. I think there should be something to be said. I mean, as much as Sandy Koufax was like a comet streaking across the sky, what's the opposite of that? That's what Mark Burley is. He's like the slow commuter train going across the suburbs. And it'll be interesting to see if he does end up in the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. We are not even close to done. I guess we're kind of close to done. But another hour to go of your phone calls. We will likely hear from Dalton Pompey, as well as maybe some more sound from down below in the Blue Jays clubhouse. 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. You can hit me up on Twitter as well, at Bennis SNet. I'm Ben Ennis, filling in for Mike Wilner. Happy New Year's to those who are celebrating as the Blue Jays beat the Seattle Mariners 1-0, three straight over the M's. They'll try for the series sweep tomorrow afternoon. This is Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Runner 3-2 pitch. Popped up into shallow center field. Out goes Cano. Still running. Running the ball. Drops in among three. Around third. Heading home. Kawasaki. Here's the throw to the plate. Not in time. He scores. Ryan Goins ends up at second. The Blue Jays are in flight here, leading Seattle 1-0 in the bottom of the eighth.
Blue Jays score the only run of the ball game, beat the Seattle Mariners 1-0 here at Rogers Center. I am Ben Ennis, filling in for Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Phone lines are open, 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Now, I get all kinds of excited because I expect people to yell at me like they yell at Mike, but it's kind of been nice and calm, cool, reflective. You know, kind of measured. That's nice. I like that too. But if you want to get fiery, go ahead. You can also hit me up on Twitter at BennisSNet, and some people have already done that. Mark Burley was great. I mean, this is all about Mark Burley, really. Not a whole lot going on offensively, as the only run in the ball game comes on a walk, and I mean, just a perfectly, not just timed, but placed base hit by Ryan Goins to center field past the outstretched arm of Robinson Cano, kind of in the Bermuda Triangle there, and it had to come at that exact moment in the ball game as well, because it was a full count with two out. Munenori Kawasaki was running on the play, and it had to come in this ballpark because the ball bounced up in the air, and Mooney just barely beat the throw home. It was all the Blue Jays needed. Aaron Sanchez solid again in relief, locking down the saves. The Blue Jays obviously look like they're ready to move on from Casey Jansen, who is a pending free agent. Let's go back to the phone lines. Michael is in Hamilton. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Michael.
Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Good.
Good. So I thought I'd just call in listening to the game. You know what? Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's pretty, like, we're pretty lucky to even have Mark Burley, and he's probably the best, I think he's the best asset that they acquired when they made the trade from the Marlins. But yeah, so congratulations to Mark Burley, first of all. And secondly, I was going to say is that, yeah, I mean, the season was kind of a disappointment just in the fact that they did have a six-game lead, and at, you know, the middle of August, those guys, they went back to, I think, two games back, and it was just kind of a downward slide from there. So, you know, just the inconsistencies from a few, well, from some of the parts of the infield was probably what ended the season for them.
August killed them. If they have even a respectable August, they are still in this thing, and these final three games of the season mean something. Well, I mean, it doesn't help, you know, getting swept in Baltimore in games that mean nothing or losing 3-4 at Yankee Stadium. But, I mean, they were just marginally in it at that point. But if they just have a reasonable August and aren't god-awful, man, it would have been interesting going down the stretch here. And I thought, for sure, at least these four games against Seattle are going to mean anything, and they didn't, which was definitely unfortunate. Yeah.
It was done a long time ago, but it's just like, you know what, it's just like most of the other Toronto teams that at the end of the season or something like that, they'll just kind of slip. But I don't know, they just, you know, they can't use any of these as excuses. Like, they have great players on offense and on defense, but you know what, they just need to be a little bit more consistent. And, like, their pitching was great, you know, even, like, Ari Dickey, who, to me, sort of seems like, if there's, like, 1 and 1A, I think it's Mark Burley and then Dickey now and probably Stroman third. But because, you know, the other guys have got more experience and they're vets, so they have they get the advantage of just knowing where to play and how to play in certain ballparks. But, for Mark Dickey Mark Burley to hit 14 years at 200-plus innings, it's, you're lucky to have him in Toronto.
Yeah, we are. Thanks for the call, Michael. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he can't bring his dogs to town. It must be lonely without those dogs. Listen, I'm a dog guy, so I feel for him a little bit.
Wasn't that Johnson in the trade that wanted to bring his dog, or that was Mark Burley who
wanted to bring his pit bull? No, that was Mark Burley. Mark Burley was unable to bring his pit bull to town, which is...
That's just ridiculous.
I don't know. My sister had a pit bull, or a pit bull mix, and it bit people. So I kind of get it a little bit. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Michael. But yeah, Mark Burley has been everything he was advertised as being, and everything... I mean, he's been throughout his career. Like, you know, anyone expecting him to have an ERA sub 3 or something, or strike everybody out, I mean, this is a rarity. 10 strikeouts, 11 strikeouts in the season opener, that's not Mark Burley. But the guy defends his position very well. He induces contact. He gets his defenders into it. He works quickly. And good things happen, especially when he's in front of a good defensive alignment, which, you know, I guess it kind of wasn't the ideal defensive alignment with Jose Reyes at shortstop in the ninth inning and Ryan Goins, the superior defender at short, playing second. But Blue Jays did get it done, and Munenori Kawasaki at third base. But the Blue Jays did end up getting it done. Maybe would have been a complete game for Mark Burley had there been somebody else at short. But overall, great season. He's not the reason why the Blue Jays are out of the playoff mix. Bullpen is partly to blame. I think you can point to the defense as being a contributing factor to the Blue Jays' inability to break that postseason drought. I really do. I mean, it's not the only reason, and it's not the only separator between the Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles as far as starting pitching numbers, but man, is it a big, big factor. I really do think that. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on the cell. Edna's in Penticton. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Edna.
Hello. I just wanted to say a couple of things. One, I really enjoy your program, your After the Ball Game programs, and I listen to them fairly faithfully.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you for the interesting programs. And the second thing, I thoroughly enjoyed the baseball game tonight. I thought it was an excellent pitching duel, and I was pleased to see that some of the run was set up and scored by people further down in the batting order, and I thought that was very nice to see, too. All in all, I have enjoyed the Blue Jays season, even though they're not moving on into the playoffs, but as long as they play hard And I think certainly they're playing hard towards the end of the season here, even though they're out of the playoff race. That's really about all I've got to say, but I've been a baseball fan since the late 1980s, a fan of the Blue Jays.
Well, thanks for the call, Edna. And the point is well made as far as the bottom of the lineup, because I think most people looked at yesterday's lineup and saw Munenori Kawasaki batting fifth and thought that, you know, you're facing one of the best pitchers in baseball, and Felix Hernandez is going to be a tough ride to score any runs, and they went double digits on Felix. Well, not on Felix, but in the game, and scored eight runs off Felix Hernandez. And today, kind of a similar-looking lineup. Now, Mooney was bumped back to seventh in the lineup with Deonner Navarro hitting fifth and Dalton Pompey hitting sixth, and he was 0 for 3, although tried to reach on the bunt base hit. But, yeah, again, it was the bottom of the lineup doing the scoring, where Munenori Kawasaki, I don't know how, and I don't know. I mean, if there's any justice in this world, in every kangaroo court, if there's a pitcher that walks Munenori Kawasaki, I mean, they should have to give up a month's pay, really. At 3-0, at 3-1, at 3-2, at a full count, you should be pounding a fastball down the middle of the plate, because at absolute worst, the guy's going to flare a single to left field, maybe ground one through the right side. He has zero home runs. He has one home run in his career. You should see where the outfielders play when he's at the plate. But somehow, I don't know how. And listen, I'm a Munenori Kawasaki fan. He's able to get on base. People do walk him. And this one ended up being huge because he scored on a full count, two-out pitch to Ryan Goins, who was able to bloop it into center field. And the Blue Jays pick up a win. And it wouldn't have been nearly as fun to talk about Mark Burley reaching that 200 innings mark if it came in a loss or a no decision. So good on him. He picks up the win, picks up the required six innings, and the Blue Jays clinch at least a 500 record this season. 416-870-0590, 1-888-660-590, *590 on the cell. Go until the top of the clock here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Have Jason Beck of MLB.com, he's the Tigers reporter, coming up at the bottom of the clock as the Tigers do officially clinch a playoff spot with this Mariners loss, although they're still battling it out with the Kansas City Royals in the American League Central. And at last check, the Royals were losing to the Cleveland Indians. It is now a 6-4 lead the Cleveland holds over the Royals with Cheese as they play in the top of the eighth inning. So we'll keep you up to date on that. But currently a game and a half lead for the Tigers in the Central. Could bulge to two games if this result holds in Cleveland. Back to the phone lines. Tom is in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks. I thought it was a pretty good season this year. You know, they did well, but I think one of the big things that prevented them from really, you know, achieving that goal of the playoffs was it was injuries. And I feel like that's been a problem with the Jays for the last couple seasons. And that, you know, we lost Lurie, and then you lose Lind, and you lose Encarnacion, who is our best offensive player for a good chunk of the year. And even when he came back, I think his numbers were still better than a lot of the other guys in the lineup. And, you know, we just need that. It's kind of almost lucky when you've got that one season where everybody is healthy and everybody can play at their best.
Tom, I would argue that the Blue Jays were extremely lucky with injuries. And I know missing a big part of your lineup in Adam Lind and Edwin Encarnacion, that doesn't help. But this team used eight starters. I mean, that's almost unheard of, especially going back to how many they used last year, which I think was 13, maybe 15 starters the Blue Jays used. I mean, they were into the Ramon Ortizes of the world within a couple of weeks, right? I mean, they have been tremendously healthy in that starting rotation. Yes, they lost Brandon Morrow for the season pretty early on, but that's it. Outside of him, and Dustin McGowan couldn't really hack it as a starter. He was thrown into the bullpen after they realized that was a mistake to have him start the season. So outside of that, they've been extremely lucky in the starting rotation. And if you want to talk about injuries, I mean, how can you say that the Blue Jays were less lucky than the Baltimore Orioles, who lost their starting catcher, they lost their starting third baseman, they picked up a guy who they're paying a ton of money to for the next 4 years in Ubaldo Jimenez, who is not good. He's not even in their rotation right now. To say that the Blue Jays were hurt by the injury bug, while it's true, I mean, no worse than any other team. The Yankees have been hurt by the injury bug. Mark Teixeira can't stay on the field. They lost Masahiro Tanaka, the best starter in the major leagues, when he was healthy.
You kind of got to look at the dudes that we're putting out there after the fact. Our bench is solid defensively, but the offense isn't quite there. Like a dude like Ryan Goins, who is unbelievable defensively, who's batting in, like, what is it, a 160 or something like that for the season. Somebody like Kawasaki, who's, again, I'm a big fan of that guy too. But these guys can't put up the same kind of batting numbers that our Lauries and our Encarnaciones and our Lins do. And I know we lost a lot. We had a lot of 1-0 games this year. It was like 31-0 games or something like that. And we lost a lot of them. And imagine having that Encarnacion bat or that Lauri bat in that lineup. And, you know, maybe things could have been a little bit different.
Oh, listen, Tom, I'm with you. But I'm just saying that it's tough. If I hear Blue Jays fans calling, you know, that they've been unlucky as far as the injuries are concerned, it's just tough for me to accept that because I look around the major leagues and some of the injuries that some of the big teams and some of the successful teams like the Baltimore Orioles, who have gotten a ton of innings out of Jonathan Scope. I don't think anybody expected him to do what he's done with the bat, although it hasn't been great. But he's somehow they're getting by. And Caleb Joseph, out of nowhere, behind the plate. There are teams that have been hurt at least as bad, if not more, by injuries than the Blue Jays and have been able to play through them. It's just the business of playing 162 games, although I will say Blue Jays does seem that they have more injury-prone type guys on this team than maybe some others, and Brett Lowry probably chief among them. I just don't know what you do about it. I mean, you got to have Brett Lowry. It's not like you're going to cut bait on Brett Lowry. I mean, they cut bait on Chris Carpenter, and that didn't really work out. And yeah, Chris Carpenter didn't have a long career, but he was pretty good for the St. Louis Cardinals there for a bit. Thanks for the phone call, Tom. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on the cell. We will get to more of Mark Burley in the clubhouse in just a second, as well as talk to Detroit Tigers MLB.com reporter Jason Beck. In just a little bit, we'll talk to Jason at the bottom of the clock as the Tigers do clinch a postseason berth, at least. It won't be the type of berth they're looking for if it's just a wild card, but right now looking pretty good is if the Royals hold on, well, if the Indians hold on and beat the Royals, the Tigers will have a 2-game lead in the division with 5 to go. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jeff is in Orangeville. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Jeff.
How are you tonight?
Hey, yeah. Jeff.
Excellent season. I think we could have done a lot better. First of all, you have to watch liking Mooney so much. Wilner would be all over you for that.
No, Wilner agrees with me. We've had our Mooney conversation. He agrees that Munenori Kawasaki gets a tremendous amount out of his skill set, but I think I agree with him that, I mean, if you want to contend for a division title, you probably shouldn't be running him out there every day and definitely not hitting him fifth.
No, I know, but he wears the guys out. He gets those little singles, and he makes things move.
Sure.
But the other thing is Gibby. When Toronto was in first place there, he starts giving guys days off. Oh, it's a long season. Oh, it's a long season. They need a rest. They need a rest. Well, it wasn't shortly after that they started sliding and started getting the injuries. I don't know how halfway through the season you can start giving guys days off when really it should be pedal to the metal and build that lead to the point where you can give the guys days off.
Who are you talking about specifically? Because Jose Reyes, he just played in his 140th game. I'll have to check on Jose Bautista, but he can't have missed more than 5 games this year. Jose Bautista just played in his 152nd game this year. I don't know who you're talking about specifically that John Gibbons gave days off to that ended up costing this Blue Jays team games.
No, nobody in specific, but he was going through the field just a day off here and a day off there. I understand, you know, if there's a small injury or, you know, somebody's sore, but his story was, you know, it's a long season. Guys need a rest.
Yeah. And you disagree with that? It's not a long season and guys don't need a rest?
They do, but I mean, shortly after, there's days, you know, a day off here and there. I know they, I mean, you know, you're sitting in first place, and you kind of let your foot off the gas by giving some the players you need to rest, I guess, days off. But in doing so, you're also getting them out of their swinging.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate the phone call. It's a long season. Guys need rest. And, I mean, you were going back and forth, whether you agreed with that. Well, your original point was that you didn't agree with that, but then you agreed with that, and then you stopped making sense. Let's go to the phone lines some more. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on the cell, at BennisSNet on Twitter. Jenny is in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jenny.
Hi. Just one thing. I've heard different things about if it's Anthopoulos calling the shots or Gibbons when, you know, benching Pilar and playing, you know, all the AAA guys. My big question is, obviously Reyes should not be shortstop next year. Everybody from Mike Wilner to whomever has said that, you know, our D really cost us a lot this year. It's obvious Reyes shouldn't be playing short. We need his bat. What do you think they'll do? Are they willing? Like, who has that discussion?
Jenny, that's a really interesting discussion. I wonder if it does get raised this offseason or into spring training because it.
Yeah.
I mean, even tonight it was apparent. I mean that.
Oh, in the ninth inning,
yeah.
Or eighth or whenever.
Yeah,
early,
it was
yeah,
in the
that
ninth.
Little trickler.
Right. I mean, listen, Jose Reyes. I've never seen.
Good though. Don't blame the hamstring. Either.
No. I'm not going to blame the hamstring. I'm just going to say I've never seen as big a sample size as I have in the last two seasons of Jose Reyes, but I've seen enough to know that he was not an elite defender coming to Toronto. But I don't think he's ever been this bad, and I don't know whether that's just age, because
older.
I mean, there's not a lot of guys that go into their 40s, you know, late 30s, playing shortstop like Derek Jeter. And
no.
We know
but
that Derek Jeter's not an
either.
No, we know he's not an elite defender.
Yeah.
I mean, guys like Cal Ripken, they move off a third off a shortstop. It's just so rare that you see guys continue to play maybe the toughest defensive position in baseball late into their careers, and the guy's still got an arm.
He could play third left field, but someone needs some balls. It's like we're paying him $22 million. We're paying him for his bat. And I, for one, will not renew my flex pass or any tickets if somehow whoever the powers that be decide to have him. I mean, I don't like Ryan Goins' bat, obviously. But I wonder just how much he could have helped the team or the pitchers. You know what I mean? Reyes, if you figure out his, like, war or whatever, he giveth and he taketh. I don't know. It's so demoralizing. I just wonder who ultimately calls the shots for him playing shortstop.
Well, I guess it would. Thanks for the call, Jenny. I think, John Gibbons daily puts the lineup out there, but I don't. I think he would be shocking Alex Anthopoulos if one day all of a sudden he wrote Jose Reyes as the left fielder or something. It's obviously a conversation that happens between the manager and the general manager. They need to be on the same page. But I think it's pretty glaring this year. Now, whether it's just a blip on the radar and if the injuries did play a part in how poor Jose Reyes was defensively this season, I'm not sure. I can't say for sure. I can tell you that it does look like, you know, he's been battling through some stuff. Now, there's a couple of things. There's the shoulder. There's the hamstring. We know the chronic hamstring stuff. He's gone through. Now, part of the reason why he's great is because he gives you a plus bat at a premium defensive position. Now, part of his value does go down if you move him off shortstop, especially if you move him to left field, if you're forced into a scenario like that where you can't re-sign Melky Cabrera and Jose Reyes is your left fielder, like a little more pop out of your left fielder. But maybe it improves his offense, not having to deal with the daily grind of playing shortstop. But I guarantee you this. If you asked Jose Reyes, he would not be too pleased with the possibility of moving away from shortstop. Thanks to everybody that called in. When we come back, going to talk to Jason Beck of MLB.com. He's the Tigers beat reporter. The Tigers have clinched a playoff berth with their win over the White Sox this afternoon. Justin Verlander picks up the win. He's been kind of lousy this season, but maybe this goes to show you how little we should look at pitching win statistics, but he has 15 of them this season. As the Tigers look like they're going to open up a two-game lead in the American League Central as well. More of Blue Jays talk coming your way. Blue Jays beat the Mariners 1-0. I'm Ben Ennis, filling in for Mike Wilner on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The 2-1 pitch hit on the ground to third. Coming in Kawasaki, throw it to first. Ball game, Blue Jays! Mark Burley, one of his sweetest wins in his Major League career, beat Seattle 1-0 with help from the rookie on a night that Mark goes 202 total innings with fewer than 61 walks for a 14th consecutive season, passing the immortal Cy Young.
That'll do, I suppose. Mark Burley was spectacular tonight and spectacular last decade and almost a half. 200 innings in 14 straight seasons with fewer than 62 walks in each and every one of them as the Blue Jays beat the Seattle Mariners 1-0. I'm Ben Ennis, filling in for Mike Wilner on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. One of the side effects of the Blue Jays beating the Mariners and dropping the Mariners now to 83-75 is that, combined with their win this afternoon over the Chicago White Sox, the Detroit Tigers have officially clinched a playoff berth, at least one of those two wildcard positions, and inching ever closer to a division title, as well as the Royals trying to come back against the Cleveland Indians right now, but at last check, we're a couple runs down. Happy to be joined now by Jason Beck of MLB.com. Jason, thanks a lot for this. A lot of places to start with this afternoon's game, but maybe we'll start with the effect of this Blue Jays win for the Tigers. I know that some teams, like I think the Pirates did the champagne celebration after clinching a playoff spot. The Tigers are probably hoping for that big divisional celebration, so they're not celebrating this, are they?
No, they're not. I mean, you know, for one thing, you know, they left the ballpark hours ago, so yeah. It's not like they're even all in one spot. Just given the expectations and given what they expect from themselves, you know, I think even if, you know, these games had gone on at the same time, I don't think they would have been celebrating, you know, really at all. You know, they've been focused on division the whole time. You know, it's when you've won three in a row there, I think, you know, it's hard to really look at a wild card as really winning much of anything. You know, it's a fallback for them, basically. And right now they're focused on, you know, trying to close out this division title if they can do something against the Twins this weekend.
Yeah, and the Royals down to their last three outs against the Indians in the ninth inning there. That would drop Detroit's magic number to three for the American League Central title. All right, this afternoon's game was kind of an interesting one, Jason. I saw some of the highlights. I saw Chris Sale get a little worked up and run one into Victor Martinez. Now, the White Sox kind of a history of getting paranoid about team stealing signs because they were the first ones to mention the man in white here at Rogers Center. I guess that's what was going on today in Detroit.
Yeah, it was weird because given the fact that Sale hit Martinez, he didn't really want to say anything about it, after the game. And but clearly it was there. I mean, everybody saw the gestures he was making out towards the outfield, towards the I assume the camera well in the shrubs, but, you know, it's hard to tell. From what Tigers players gathered from, from what I guess Avisaio Garcia, you know, a former Tiger, relayed to some of his old teammates, Sale was suspicious that, there was somebody out there with binoculars or something stealing signs. That's the first time we've heard of anything like that here, to be honest. And this ballpark's been around for, 13, 14, 15 years?
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre as well for a guy who struck out 10 over 6, giving up one earned run, to be upset that a team's stealing signs.
I mean, the one at bat, you know, where he seemed to get suspicious was one where he ended up striking out Martinez, of all things. You know, he fell behind on, sliders and changeups, and then basically blew three fastballs back, by him. And I don't know if it was something with them changing up the signs and him looking at the late swings and thinking that he was trying to, read a sign for a slider or what. But, it set him off, really. He can say it was emotions or he can say it was a fan, but he was clearly pointing to something specific and he was clearly mouthing something that was not heckling a fan.
No. Yeah, I read those comments post-game as well, and yeah, it was pretty obvious what was happening in the moment. So the Tigers beat the White Sox 6-1, and one of the big reasons for the win was not just the offense scoring the 6 runs, but it was Justin Verlander. Back-to-back starts now of at least 8 innings. He goes 8 strong, striking out 6. No walks, 7 hits, and just the 1 run. His ERA, we know he struggled, giving up runs this season, still at 4.54. But he is 15-12, and I guess, Jason, at some point, now that we know that the Tigers are in the playoffs and it looks like they're going to have a division title soon enough, so they will play a series, not just a one-off game, do you expect Verlander will remain in this rotation? It'll be somebody else going to the bullpen?
Oh, yeah, he'll be in the rotation. With the late comeback of Anibal Sanchez, Sanchez is not going to have enough time to stretch out his arm to the point where the Tigers really feel like they can trust him as a starter. They bypassed the one-time start altogether, and they just put Sanchez in the bullpen when they activated him from the DL the other day. So that leaves Price, Scherzer, Verlander, and Porcello as your postseason rotation for a potential division series.
Is there confidence that Verlander has figured it out and that these two starts aren't just an outlier? They're actually, something's actually clicking for Justin Verlander and he's getting back to his Cy Young form?
I think there's increased optimism. I don't know if I would call it back to his Cy Young form. By the way, the Royals are an out away from losing this. So, sorry, I'm just watching TV.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm paying attention to it as well.
Breaking news. I wouldn't call it Cy Young form. It's not even the form where Verlander feels like he wants to be, but it's a workable form. That's kind of the way that Verlander characterized it when I asked him about it after the game today. It's at some point he reached that stage in the year where it was time to stop tinkering and stop trying to, make all these adjustments and just, do something with what he had. And I think he reached that point like a start or two ago. And it seems like that's coincided with this run. And I think it says a lot about Verlander. He's able to make this work. As well, the fastball is up to like 94 today. It wasn't overpowering, but it was deceptive. I think the bigger thing was is he had that breaking ball working. And I think the Blue Jays knows as well as anybody that curveball and that slider are really huge for Verlander's arsenal. And if he can get those working and be able to spot, one or two of those, he's a way more effective pitcher. In some ways, that's as important as a fastball.
Talking to Jason Beck of MLB.com, Tigers beat reporter, as the Tigers clinch a playoff spot with their 6-1 win over the White Sox this afternoon, combined with the Blue Jays' 1-0 win over the Seattle Mariners, and it looks like they're on the verge of opening up a 2-game lead in the American League Central as well. And maybe you can tell us if that is now a final, Jason, because you're watching the Royals in Cleveland, but I see it as still 2 out and 2-2 count to Eric Hosmer. But
Hosmer just doubled, it looks like.
Okay, so not quite over there yet in Cleveland. But you got to explain to me, Jason, and maybe you can, or maybe you can't. I'd be surprised, actually, if you can. Where has J.D. Martinez come from? My goodness, I've seen this guy play in Houston with the Astros, and this is completely out of nowhere for me. I thought he would absolutely fall off a cliff in the second half He had another three hits today. He's got an on-base of .363, and he's slugging .565. Did anybody see this coming out of J.D. Martinez?
Nobody with the Tigers, and I don't even know if J.D. Martinez saw anything quite like this coming. The Tigers saw just, right-handed power bat who could, be of help to an organization that was kind of power-starved after trading Prince Fielder. I think the Tigers didn't fully realize, and I'm pretty sure the Astros didn't fully realize either, is just what type of difference Martinez had made with his swing. He did some off-season adjustments. The bat looks quicker now, but he says he's getting, more bat through the zone, at the time the pitch is coming in. And what you're seeing now is not only, more consistent power, but it's power to all fields right now. There's a third out. The Royals just lost. What you're seeing is, I just wrote it, is that, he's essentially replaced Prince Fielder in the old Tigers lineup. It's crazy, really.
Yeah. I mean, those are huge numbers for a guy to be OPSing over 900. I had no idea he had that in that bet. Before we let you go, Jason, the bullpen is obviously one of the main areas of weakness for this Tigers team. It helps a lot that Joaquin Soria is back. He pitched today, pitched the ninth in a non-save situation, a clean ninth inning with the strikeout. Is he going to be the man? I mean, is there any thought of sticking with Joe Nathan despite his troubles, or is it Joaquin Soria's ninth inning when it comes to playoff time?
I think you're seeing like a gradual shift to where, Joaquin Soria has kind of gone from, the guy who pitches late innings when Joe Nathan or Jabba Chamberlain is off to, the break the glass option if Joaquin, if Jabba Chamberlain or Joe Nathan are ineffective in a given outing to, now you kind of, when they get a lead, going into the ninth today, they had both Nathan and Soria warming up. So you just kind of, you can kind of see that gradual shift where, the opportunity is going to be there. I don't know, at what point, the Tigers go all the way with it, but they're certainly setting it up where Soria becomes, a huge option for them. And I think, once you get to the postseason, it'll be fascinating to watch this unfold. In fact, it might be one of the, bigger storylines for a division series, if the Tigers get there, is, just watching how that eighth and ninth inning play out. I think right now Brad's trying to fill, two potential weak spots with one guy. He's kind of juggling here because, once you get beyond, these three, there's talent, but there's a lot of inconsistency out there. You're starting to see encouraging signs out of Al Albuquerque, but that kind of seems to come and go in cycles, really.
Yeah, it's not exactly where I'm sure this team wants its bullpen headed into the postseason. Hey, Jason, thanks a lot for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There's Jason Beck of MLB.com. Tigers beat reporters. The Tigers beat the White Sox 6-1 this afternoon. The Blue Jays beat the Mariners 1-0 tonight at Rogers Center, officially clinching a playoff spot for the Detroit Tigers. And just moments ago, the Kansas City Royals losing 6-4 in Cleveland to the Indians. So that lead is now 2 games for the division over the Royals, and their magic number to clinch the division is 3 games with 5 to go. So you got that? It's confusing, I know. But the Tigers looks like will clinch that division when it looked a little dicey despite that trade acquiring David Price. Still dicey for the Oakland A's, just not as dicey now that the Blue Jays took care of business against the Seattle Mariners. And the Cleveland Indians do stay alive for one day, but their tragic number remains at 1. The night belonged to Mark Burley. There's no question. 14th straight season of 200 or more innings pitched and 61 or fewer walks, so less than 62 walks. That passes Cy Young, who was pretty good. I think they named a pitching trophy after him. Mark Burley We heard him speaking with Barry Davis moments ago. He also spoke with the rest of the media. Let's hear part of that conversation.
A couple starts ago, you said, you know, if you got the 200, great. If you didn't, your offseason was going to be the same. You're going to go home and play with your kids. But now that you've reached it, have you had a moment at all to reflect on what that means for 14 straight seasons?
I mean, I think it's one of those things that yes and no. I think it's going to mean more at the end of the season, knowing I accomplished it again. And the whole thing all along, I think when I had two or three starts kind of in a row, I had three innings, four innings, and then I mixed a six-inning game in there. I almost gave up, but I just said, hey, look, it ain't going to happen. I kind of did the math and said, you have eight starts and you need some X amount of innings. I didn't like my chances. So, I mean, obviously it means a lot because I put this goal myself in spring training. And, you know, obviously getting there means a lot. It's disappointing because we're going home on Sunday. We're not going to continue playing, especially the way I felt and the way my ball was moving tonight. I almost want to pitch, you know, I want to throw tomorrow. I mean, I felt that good and my ball was moving. So I guess that's a disappointing thing and frustrating. I feel this good, and then I'm done.
Did you argue at all when you got pulled out in the ninth?
No, I didn't see if he made the move before he even came out there. So, and if he came out and asked me how I felt, I would have said I felt great. And I think I told him an inning and a half before that, I said, hey, if we go 12 tonight, I think I can throw all 12. I just felt that good. But, no, I just – when he came out there, it was just – I think he already made the move, and I couldn't do anything about it.
It wasn't a big crowd, but it was a pretty noisy one when you left the field. You've had a lot of starts here and some big ones, but did that feel kind of special?
It did. Obviously, I think I was – I don't say caught up in the moment, but I was just head down like I do every other inning walking off, and got in the dugout and told him, I think somebody else was yelling, get out there, they want to hear you. And I was like, are you serious? Like, we're in mid-game. I can't do this. Like, we still got to play. But, no, I mean, it's awesome that they recognize what's going on. And, you know, so many innings for so many years, it's awesome.
Is it helping the other pitchers pitching at the same pace that you're at?
It does as far as staying loose and going back out there. But obviously you would like to have a delay and score some runs. But, again, quick games, I like it. But, you know, you need to put a couple runs up on the board and it's going to be more fun. But, you know, I was trying to go for the old record of quickest game. But, you know, like if we scored 24 runs over the last couple nights, and, you know, you're not going to score 10 every night. So it just felt good tonight.
You're not known as a strikeout pitcher. You've had a few high strikeout games. What was working so well tonight? I mean, that you got...
To be honest with you, I think it was everything. Ball was moving a ton. And when I was missing my spots, I mean, there was a bunch of times that seen me, I threw a pitch and I was kind of like, oh, man, like if he would have swung at that, he would have crushed it because it was right down the middle. But the way my ball was moving, it was almost at times moving too much where I couldn't control it. So I don't know. I mean, getting ahead in the strike zone, hitting my spots and ball moving, that's
best
part
of it. Stuff of the season.
I'll put up there with, yeah, I mean, I probably felt better tonight than I did on that first one, which is, I guess, kind of surprising being, you know, last start of the year.
Mark, what did the umpire say to you after the sixth one?
He said he seen me balk and didn't call it. No, I don't know if he's going to get in trouble if I say that. I may have balked, and he may have said something along the lines of, I seen you move a little bit, but I didn't know. So, when he yelled at me, I kind of was shocked because I turned around and I heard him say something like, I heard that. I thought he said, I heard that, or I seen that ball. I was kind of, what's he talking about? And then I kind of figured out what he said. So there was a few like maybes in there, and I think you did, but I think it was because I might have balked.
All right, there you go. Mark Burley speaking post-game about a balk that may or may not have happened. Either way, tell you what did happen. Mark Burley picked up his 13th win of the season, won 8-plus batter, and he's at 200-plus innings for the 14th straight year. So congratulations to Mr. Burley. And the Blue Jays have clinched at least a .500 record. Burley's ERA now down to 3.39 for the season. Aaron Sanchez picking up save number 3. And thanks in large part to a pickoff. And when you're a young player like James Jones, not exactly the way you want to come into a game as a pinch runner wearing number 99 and getting picked off immediately. So the Blue Jays, oh yes, they're on quite a roll. Three straight wins over the Mariners. They'll look for the series sweep tomorrow afternoon. Love it. The Businessman Special, later edition, kind of. 4 o'clock pregame show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network. 4:07 first pitch. Daniel Norris is going to get the start. Probably go 1, 2, 3 innings at most. And then the bullpen will get the start. Also a bullpen day for the Seattle Mariners as well. Chris Young leaving the rotation. Tom Wilhelmsen likely to get the start for the M's. Hope you enjoyed it. Follow me on Twitter, @BenSNet, filling in for Mike Wilner. I've been Ben Ennis. We'll see you tomorrow afternoon. Good night from Rogers Center.